Here in Washington, the federal government held the first full-scale test of its ability to keep operating in the event of a major terrorist attack. More than 2,500 bureaucrats and top officials relocated to secret sites outside the Capitol as part of the two-day drill. Such continuity of government planning has taken on new urgency since the attacks of 9/11, but it has been in the works for years. NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
Total annihilation of the Capitol has been the stuff of many books and movies. In the 1964 classic, Dr. Strangelove, the president contemplates his science advisor's suggestion that the only way for the government to survive is to move underground.
I would hate to have to decide who stays up and who goes down.
Well, that would not be necessary, Mr. President. Could easily be accomplished with a computer.
Not all that far off from some of the nation's real Cold War plans. Top-secret bunkers were actually built outside Washington after World War II to house the president, members of Congress, and top government officials in the event of a nuclear attack. James Mann of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says preparing for the worst took on a new intensity in the 1980s. Then the Reagan administration considered the possibility that the U.S. might have to take out the Soviet leadership with a nuclear strike in the event of an all-out war.
This raised the question, what if the Soviets tried to do likewise? And the Reagan administration, this is very scary planning, but it was carried out in elaborate detail.
Mann says the Reagan administration realized it needed more flexibility than it had with a few fixed bunkers, so it came up with another idea.
There would be three separate teams of federal officials. Each individual team would have, say, 40 or 50 people. Each one would be headed by a chief of staff. And each one would have a cabinet member.
So in the event the president, vice president, and others in the line of succession were incapacitated, any one of the three teams would be able to take over the running of the federal government. At the first sign of trouble, the teams would be sent to secret command posts around the country, accompanied by sophisticated communications equipment. Mann, who reveals details of the plans in his new book, Rise of the Vulcans, says there were elaborate and highly classified exercises at least once a year.
They would all convene, usually in the middle of the night, and fly out a military plane from Andrews Air Force Base to whatever the new location was, where they would start their drills.
Among those involved were two former White House chiefs of staff, Dick Cheney, a congressman at the time, and Donald Rumsfeld. A third participant was Richard Clark, who later became the White House counterterrorism chief under Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush. Clark says the Reagan plans for continuity were allowed to atrophy after the Cold War ended, but when concerns about terrorism grew during the Clinton administration, orders were sent out for the government to update its contingency plans. Clark says these came in handy on September 11, 2001.
When the Pentagon became a target, it was very clear that, yes, Washington was a target. And therefore, I ordered the initiation of the continuity of government system.
This meant initially keeping President Bush away from Washington, where the vice president was at the time, and sending top cabinet officials and teams of bureaucrats away from the Capitol. Clark says that day's unexpected attack, though, revealed a major flaw in previous planning.
The assumption behind continuity of government was that there would be warning of a problem. And with that warning, you could then send people out from the departments in downtown Washington. And obviously 9/11 proved what most of us knew beforehand, which was that there will be a kind of a phenomenon where there is no warning.
So after 9/11, the Bush administration routinely sent government bureaucrats to secure sites outside the Capitol, where they spent months at a time. And agencies lined up officials from regional offices to take over if their leaders in Washington were incapacitated. This past week's drill was designed in part to test those lines of succession and to decide how authority would be delegated. Officials say the exercise appeared to go well, but it will be several weeks before there's a final report. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.